son. Hallelujah. When you begin to see the world to contribute to the cause of God, David said, I know now that God has established me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The wealth of the wicked, the Bible said, is laid up for the righteous. And when the Egyptians were when the Lord smote them, they went into Egyptian bondage. But while they were smote, and brother, and they were in Egyptian bondage, and they were laying bricks, and they were slime with what they had they for mortar, and all this kind of stuff. Little did they know that on the other side of Jordan, somebody was digging them a well. Little did they know that the enemy was planting groves that they would eat and they didn't plant. Little did they know that the enemy was building them a house that one day they would occupy. So even though God smote them on one side, on the other side, he was letting the enemy work for them. So when they got out, they were better than they were when they went down. I'm here to tell you, God is not a God that just brings you back to where you was and call it, well, we're break even, honey. No, God wants you to prosper. And the only way you can prosper is get ahead. Get ahead. Hallelujah. And so while they were in Egyptian bondage and smitten of the Lord, they found out that when they got across Jordan, they had things they didn't dream they would have. Wells of water to drink from, picking the fruit that they didn't even plant. And houses, Lord, it's empty. Which bedroom do you want, honey? Which kids? Oh, we got a 3-bedroom house, Lord. And they didn't even build it. In my wrath, I smote thee. You got me angry? I smote you. But in my mercy and in my favor, I'm going to bring you up higher. Let me tell somebody here this morning, don't look at where you're at now, honey. Don't look at where you're at now. Hallelujah. It may have all went down, but it's going to come up higher than it ever was before. Don't look at where you're at now. Oh, God's going to bring you out to a higher place than you've ever been before. Whew. Hallelujah. No wonder Jesus even said, give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over shall men give unto your bosom. Not your brothers and your sisters, men give unto you bosom. As y'all know, I'm a money manager. That's what I do for a living. And if I had to wait on all my brothers and sisters to bring me their money to manage, I'd have went broke a long time ago. But the world brought me their money. Hallelujah. And I make money off of their money. Hallelujah. And the world gave, and God gave me favor with the world so that they trust me because I serve the Lord. And they bring it to me and I manage it for them. Hallelujah. The Lord has established me with the world's stuff. Or you understand what I'm trying to preach to you. The world gives you a job, brother. Don't forget that. The world gave you a job. The world gave you a job. But he established you as the world began to give you their stuff. Really, they're just giving you back God's stuff. All right. So David sits down in his house and he says to Nathan, I've been thinking about this. I got a really good place here. I'm established. I'm staying here. I was running for many years, but now I'm here. I'm established. But you know, they're still moving God around. What about when God establishes you? What about God? What about him? And so he gets to thinking, God's got a temporary home, and I've got a permanent home. And I need to build him a house to dwell in. And because he doesn't have that. And the Lord told Nathan, tell David that since the day I brought them out of Egypt bondage unto this day, I have gone from tent to tent and tabernacle to tabernacle. It's time somebody settled down and put me in their heart to stay. Hallelujah. Whew, just think what the next 10 years is going to bring y'all. Hallelujah. And so, as long as they were moving God, he had no permanent. Because when they moved, see, they followed God, right? They followed the Ark of the Covenant. And as God moved, they had to move. Because God didn't have a permanent dwelling place, then he moved. Hallelujah. Why haven't you built me a house of cedar? I'm tired of roaming. The Ark of the Covenant, you might recall, was carried on a stave, that a stick, if you will, that they put through golden rings And the priest would get on each end and bear the Ark of the Covenant. You remember that, right? And they had to step it off. It's even why they said when the Ark of the Covenant had gone 6 paces, okay, they stepped it off. And so David said, I'm tired of stepping one time. He said, let's build a cart. Let's put it on wheels. It'll be the Ark on wheels. But the Lord said, no. You can't put me on wheels because I want you to walk it out. You know, you're not going to ride me out. You're going to walk me out. You have to walk this thing out. And so the Lord, as you know, rebuked David for trying to put him on wheels. He said, no. As long as I'm moving, you're moving, we all walk. I don't ride and you walk. We all walk. Amen. So Israel, they sojourned in the wilderness for so many years. And even when they got over on the other side, they still were sojourning, if you will. They went from tent to tent, and God was behind these curtains. And it was just like they got to find a permanent dwelling place for God. And the priest would go behind the curtains. Now get this picture, because if you miss this, you're going to miss the whole thing. They would put the Ark of the Covenant in. And I did a good bit of research on this, because the Bible bears it out, that they would take the staves and pull the staves out. And part of the staves would go beyond the curtain into the holy place, and the other part was in the holiest of holies. Okay, they would pull them out. So this would channel the high priest into the mercy seat, because as he went behind the curtain, the only light was God. And so he would, the curtains would come behind him, but he had the railing, if you will, to go to the mercy seat. And so the Bible says that part of it was not seen and part of it was seen. Are you understanding that? Okay. But every time the priest went back there, he would meet the glory of God. But when he came out, the glory stayed behind the curtain. And he came out and shared the glory of God and for the remission or the atonement of their sins. But the glory of God remained behind the veil. And as long as the presence of God was being moved from tent to tent and tabernacle to tabernacle, the glory of God was behind the veil where it could not be seen. It could not be felt. It could not be heard. You had to go through that priest. And although David could not build this temple that he desired, Solomon erected a monster, if you will, of a temple with untold splendor. And this temple had permanency. It was an establishment. It had foundations, brother, whose foundations was the tribes of Israel. It had 5 porches, Solomon's porches. It had columns. It had structure to it. This thing, you wasn't going to move it. If only you would do the moving, but God wasn't going to be moved anymore. A permanent dwelling place for God, as David had a permanent dwelling place. So Solomon finished his temple, and they bring in the Ark of the Covenant the old-fashioned way. Hallelujah. Just because you're going to go to a new place, you still better take God the old-fashioned way. I know they pray through different ways today, but I'm telling you, there ain't but one way to pray through, and it's the old-fashioned way. Hallelujah. Because you ain't prayed through unless you do it the old-fashioned way. And so they're going to bring in the Ark of the Covenant, and Solomon gets all the instruments ready, and he gets all the priests ready, and everything's ready, but they have to bring it in the old-fashioned way. And so they bring in the Ark of the Covenant. And we talk about how the glory of the Lord fill the house. And we talk about how they couldn't minister for the glory of the Lord. But somehow we have missed the most important thing of what caused that event. Was it that they finally brought it in the old-fashioned way and set it down in its place? No. So I want to reread 1 Kings 8 and 6 and 7, because I'm afraid that we've missed what really caused the glory to show up. And the priest brought in the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord unto his place, right place, into the oracle of the house, to the most holy place even under the wings of the cherubim. That's where it used to go and still went. For the cherubim spread forth their two wings over the place of the ark, and the cherubim covered the ark and the staves thereof. That's the way they used to do it. I don't see any smoke. I don't know that there's any feeling. The glory of the Lord hasn't shown up. His presence is still in the box. They opened the box even. They did that before. And verse 8 says, here it is, and they drew out the staves, that the ends of the staves were seen out in the holy place before the oracle, and they were not seen without. And there they are unto this day. They drew out the staves beyond the curtain, and in where the people were at, and where the holy place and the holiest of holies was at. And there they, this is the most important thing, and I'm afraid we missed it. They pulled it out, and there they are to this day. Let me tell this side because they didn't get it over here. They pulled it out like they did before, but there they are unto this day. You didn't get it. No more roaming. And there they are unto this day. Woo! Hallelujah. They pulled them out like they did before, but there they are. Why? They're going to leave them like that because there's no more roaming. Never more to roam. It has now, watch, going to be established. My God. Verse 10. And it came to pass when the priests were come out of the holy place that the cloud filled the house of the Lord, so that the priests could not stand to minister before the cloud, for the glory of the Lord had filled the house of the Lord. Why? Because there they are to this day. Hallelujah. I'm here to tell you and preach to you, if you want all the glory of God, if you want all the benefit of living for God, then you better say, and there we are to this day. I'm not leaving. I'm not going. And you're going to have to run me off because I am staying right here, hallelujah, because the benefit of God comes to people that stay. It comes to people that are established in their life, in their work, and in their marriage, and in their with their kids. That's where you get the benefit. And when they saw that it was there to stay, the glory of the Lord came out with the priest. Every other time, the glory stayed behind the curtain. And what did he say? What did he say? What did he say? What did he say? Are we forgiven? But now, my brother, the glory of the Lord came out with the priest. And the glory of the Lord filled the house, hallelujah, where they were standing. It sounds like when our priest, hallelujah, went into a tomb and into the grave and said, it is finished. And he went into a dark place. The light went into the dark place, hallelujah. The other way, it was the darkness went into the light. But here the light went into the darkness and he came out, hallelujah, with the keys to death and hell and the grave, hallelujah. And when he came out, I tell y'all over here, when he came out, the glory filled the house where they were sitting, hallelujah. And suddenly there appeared in them cloven tongue like as a fire. It filled all the glory came out with the priest, and the veil was rent in twain, no more to be used in the way it was used before. And now we can go boldly to the throne of grace to obtain mercy and help in the time of need. Woo! He said, it is finished. Hallelujah. And there it is to this day. Whew. Symbolic was they had their own day of Pentecost, if you will. Amen. Just as that veil, now when the priest came out, the glory came with him. And when our priest came out, the glory came with him. Hallelujah. And all of us have been witnessed and partaken of the glory. Anybody ever been in a service where they couldn't even minister? Hallelujah. Because the power and the glory of God was so strong. Hallelujah. What made the glory come out was that it was there to stay. I'm glad you that stood this morning when I got here 10 years ago, you're reaping the benefits of staying. you reaping the benefits of staying. Hallelujah. Some things don't go like you want them to. I understand that. They don't all go like I want them to. And they hadn't all gone like I want them to since I've been here. But somebody's got to stay. Somebody's got to put. I don't want to be like the boll weevil just looking for a home. Hallelujah. I want to put me down some roots and stay. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In managing people's money, I just throw this in for good common sense. In managing people's money for almost 30 years, almost every time somebody comes in with a nice large sum of money, I say, where did you work? I worked 35 years at. I worked 40 years at. They can't. Nobody's ever come in and said, I had 40 jobs and I accumulated all of this. No, you've got to find roam for a while. That's okay. Roam for a while. But when you finally find that place, put your feet down, plant some trees and say, this is as high as I can go. I'm sticking it out. Hallelujah. Woo. We all roam for a while. My first camp was a camper trailer. But then I found me a piece of property that I want to stay here. The benefit of having an establishment. David settled down in his house and he gave God a house too. As they come this morning, I want to tell you, listen closely to me. You will never, ever, ever, never get all the benefit of God until you settle down. And you will never get all of God until He settles down with you. David said, I'm settled, but God's still moving around. I go to church when I feel like it. I don't know. I don't know. But I got me a good home. I got me a good job. What about God? And when you settle yourself in God and anchor yourself in a church and you're anchored yourself, I'm telling you, the blessings of God, men start heaping things into your bosom and the world will establish your place in God because they'll give things unto you. Since I've been here, so many of y'all have been given things from people in the world. It's unbelievable. Whew, I've got to finish. Can't keep moving around and thinking, I'm going to flourish one day. And you wake up at 40 and 45 and 50, one day. And then you find yourself old and one day can't happen anymore. I'm not preaching this morning that you need a house on a slab. That's not what I'm preaching. What I'm preaching is you got to settle down. That's what I'm preaching. You remember one day I had some chestnuts I brought? You remember that? Some chestnuts? And I just refresh your memory. I passed out a few of those chestnuts. I said, do you know how long it took me to get that? All I got that year was, but it was the first harvest. Ooh, it was good. When I planted them, they said it takes at least 10 years to bear fruit. Y'all can plant tomatoes if you want to, but anything that will reap a harvest in a few months, you'll have to plant again. I don't want to sow my seed into the people I got to keep planting. I'm tired of that. But when I read it would be 10 years, I did a little math. And I said, through God's grace, I'll still be here. So I might as well plant. And you know what, Lord? If I'm not here, my kids will be here. So I might as well plant. And the Lord blessed me that after 6 years, I had a little handful. Little handful. Do you know what I just did this weekend? I planted some more chestnuts. Because I got to thinking, I'm 58. I might make 68. And I might be here to eat them. But if I'm not, Ariel might pick them up. And she might. You see what I'm trying to tell you? When you get established, you pass the baton to someone else who is established. So that the Lord said, David, I have established, and I will establish his son. Hallelujah. So that you don't waste what you've established and give it to someone who will squander it. Hallelujah. I like to fish, and I know Brother Ken likes to fish, and let me tell you a little secret. There's a few fishing holes that I have. Can I ramble? I've been here 10 years. Can I ramble a little bit? There's a few fishing holes that I have, and some of them are by stumps, you know. They're not real close to, but they're by a little stump. And when I sit and, boy, somebody's on my fishing hole. I get upset when people get in my fishing hole because I own them all, you know. And so I see people tied up on a stump. But you know what I've realized? When they tie up to the stump, they're not staying long. I just wait them out. I just go, sure is hot today. Fish aren't biting, are they? Bad weather might be coming. You know, just discourage them, you know. But when I see them throw out an anchor, I might as well go find me another place. Too many people just tie up temporarily. I like the song, Brother Manuel. I remember what you sang. The anchor holds. It holds. I've been at the jetties, my friend, when the tide wasn't moving, and threw out an anchor. And brother, the tide can change, and that rope is it, but the anchor holds. Tide may change, may go up, may go down, but the anchor holds. I want to finish with this. Hebrews says, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and watch, and which entereth into that within the veil. The anchor went into the veil. My hope went into the veil. My faith went into the veil. Whither the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made an high priest forever, forever, forever. It is established after the order of Melchizedek. It's never going to change. The Bible says that his word is forever settled in heaven. Hallelujah. And the Bible teaches us that he's called us into his glory. But after you've suffered a while, he may perfect you, establish you, strengthen you, and what? Settle you. Don't worry, honey, your life won't always be like this. Don't worry, young man, your life won't always be there like this. But sooner or later, you've got to find a place to settle down. The ark had arrived. And the ark was there, and the presence of God was in the ark just like it always had been. They pulled out the stave just like they always did. But there it is unto this day. No more roaming. Would you stand this morning? No more roaming. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want God to establish my heart, establish me in the truth. As one writer said, establish my goings. Hallelujah. I want the Lord to establish me. Hallelujah. So that you can look at me and say, he's permanent. Do you know why there's some people didn't come here? It's my 10-year reunion. I can say this. You know why some people didn't come here when I came here? There was a lot of people said, Brother Baggett, I love you. I love your teaching. I love your preaching. I got faith in you, but I don't think you're staying. Therefore, I don't want to... Hello?